Warning, parental advisory is recommended. Oh, shit, just listen.
This is Lyrical Spit Volume 81 and Tales from the Abyss Season 3, Episode 6. Topic, 80s Wrestling. This is a swap cast. I am Thankful Law, the Butcher Dabashi, the new producer of Tales from the Abyss with Jay Linderman and Pahu Rojo, and the host of Lyrical Spit. We decided to spread our love and cross-promote. So, this episode will be on Tales from the Abyss and Lyrical Spit. I do hope you enjoy each other's company.
Tales from the Abyss, the most unfiltered, unselfish, uncut, unapologetic, unpretentious, the greatest celebration of freedom of speech in the land of the free, in the home of the brave.
Oh. It's that time again. It's that time for another wonderful episode of Tales from the Abyss. I am Jay Linderman, and unfortunately for the second straight week, our good friend and co-host, Mr. Pedro Rojo, is not available to join us tonight. Nope, he's still out there making his greenbacks, and he's having to hit the sack early tonight. So standing in for him is our new producer here on Tales from the Abyss and good friend, Mr. Butcher Dabashi. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a very, very great, exciting episode for you. And why is that? Because tonight we're getting away from our normal movie / TV talk, and we're going to be talking about another subject, a subject that we tend to ramble on Tales from the Abyss from time to time, and we're going to be talking about 1980s wrestling.
Woo!
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Wheeling, dealing, woo, styling, then profiling tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be getting down with some 80s wrestling. But before we hop right into it, my friend, Mr. Butcher Dabashi, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. And when we talked over, you know, what we're going to do for this week's topic, you said 80s wrestling, and I got excited. I said, yes. So I said, well, let's make it a swap cast, kill two birds with one stone, and cross-promote. And I talked to Pahu Rojo, and like you said, he will be back next week. You know, he needed to get some well rest, and he's been working hard. So I guess we could take his picture off the milk carton finally.
Yes, he is. Trust me, folks, he is alive and well. And I heard from him earlier today a little bit myself, and he's ready to get back into action out here in podcast land next week. So
he don't want to sound like a softy, but when he was talking on the phone, I felt he was tearing up and getting teary eyed. He probably don't want anyone knows he's soft like that for the fans.
Hey, you know, tears in the beers, sometimes it makes everything better.
Well, you know, speaking of 80s wrestling, what was your first recollection of wrestling, growing up? What was your, flavor?
I said in our last episode, I was born and raised in Macon, Georgia, which is like right smack dab in the middle of the state. Right?
Yes.
So we, you know, I lived with my parents at the time, of course, but we lived in the middle of a hotbed of wrestling country. It was wildly popular growing up. And when we decided to do this wrestling show, the first two guys that came to mind from the 80s happened in the way early 80s. Between 80, probably before the 80s, really, but there were two guys that were wildly popular back then, and I mean massively popular, and they're still talked about to this day, and that's Tommy Wildfire Rich and Mr. Wrestling Number 2.
Oh, yes. I love Wrestling Number 2's knee lift. Remember his knee lift?
Yeah, I believe his real name was Johnny Walker.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, because when I was a baby, my parents used to take me to the Coliseum and Gene Kaninsky, Ric Flair, Snook, and all them. And,
right.
And the wrestlers would be bloody, and I was a baby, and I would cry, so they stopped going, right?
Right.
And then years later, we had Portland wrestling with Don Owens. So my cousin Abdullah, rest in peace, brother, he would come, and it'd come on about 11:30 at night, and we'd sit there and watch Don Owens, you know, and
Oh, yeah. Hey, wasn't Roddy Piper a big deal up there?
Yes, I was just going to say that. And one of the big things they were talking about when they had their dog collar chain match, and they were showing clippings. But
That was the first Starrcade, by the way.
Yeah, but what's funny, you brought up Tommy Wildfire Ritz. So fast forward a little bit, we've got cable in the house. And the first thing, I turn it to Superstation WTBS. You know,
based out of Atlanta, baby. Based out of Atlanta.
Yes. And yeah. And I thought I had the little theme song, but I guess I didn't upload it. But anyways, yeah. And the first thing I saw when I got hooked on was who was it? Ted DiBiase got power-drived on the concrete in the studio wrestling on WTBS by the Freebirds. And
oh, wow.
And then...
this would have to be the pre-Ted DiBiase Million Dollar Man.
Yes. And I remember Tommy Rich came in and made the save. And I'm telling you that I was hooked ever since. I mean, between that and then, yeah. I mean, that was some great stuff back then.
Well, now, as far as me becoming a super fan, the first match that really caught my eye, I was probably about 6 or 7 years old. It was Starrcade 86 and the scaffold match with the Road Warriors and the Midnight Express.
Oh, yes. You remember this? And I found the theme song. Georgia Championship Wrestling. NWA, WCW, World Championship Wrestling.
Man, I got chills listening to that. It reminds me of my childhood.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I remember it must have been like what, 6:05 your time? Was it 6:05?
Yes, 6:05 Eastern time. That time slot around our area is still talked about.
Yes, well, over here was 3:05, and no matter what we did back then, we had VCR, right? And there was no DVR or nothing. I remember, I mean, I would go in withdrawals, 3:05, got to be back home. But if I wasn't home, I'd put the VHS on extra long play to play for 6 hours, and I'd hit record. And as long as, and I would leave. So I'd probably tape 2 or 3 shows before that. But as long as I got Georgia Championship Wrestling or World Championship Wrestling, but before the VCR, I used to take a cassette tape and record it on regular cassette tape.
Man, me and you were in the same boat because once I became a super fan, you know, I watched every single wrestling episode I could of any show from any organization. I remember we picked up AWA and WCCW, the outfit out of Dallas, on ESPN. Both of those came on ESPN in the mid-80s.
Yes.
And then, of course, like we just talked about, we had NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions on TBS. And then the WWF had their syndicated shows, but their big show at the time was WWF Primetime Wrestling.
I remember that. And
yeah, what
Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon, they were classic.
Oh, that was the Laurel and Hardy of the wrestling business,
yes,
you know? They were great. Like, to this day, if I go back and watch some old matches or show or anything like that, I always try to find something with Bobby and Gorilla because it's hilarious. Hell, even Gorilla and Jesse the Body was funny.
Oh, yes. Now, do you remember when on Sunday mornings when All American Wrestling came on?
Yeah, it came on at noon our time here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember this? Before All American Wrestling, Mid-South Wrestling, or was it Southwest Championship Wrestling, would come on Joe Blanchard's promotion. And
that's right. Yeah, that was Southwest.
Southwest, yes. And I remember I loved it. And then all of a sudden, one Sunday, was All-American Wrestling that came on. And you know what? I didn't really care for it because it was, instead of live studio, it was more like they were in a studio and they played tape. So I was kind of disappointed.
Well, yeah, because I remember Vince McMahon and then later on Gene Okerlund hosted All American Wrestling. And they would do it, like you said, from a studio, and Gene Okerlund would give out, you know, tour dates of when they're coming to towns, and, you know, they would do their best to promote a pay-per-view that was coming up. Which, you know, back then, the WWF only had four main pay-per-views, and hell, those four didn't even start until the late 80s.
Right. Go back a little bit. Do you remember what happened on the last episode of Southwest Championship Wrestling?
I do not.
Bob Sweet, it was Bob Sweet, and he got a bucket of manure put over his head, I think, by Cowboy Scott Casey. And a shout out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and shout out to Cowboy Scott Casey. We're good friends, and I still talk to him to this day. Awesome guy.
Oh, man. I remember around 88 or 89 being really confused, because by that point, the Ultimate Warrior had gotten into WWF and was becoming a huge star.
Remember the Dingo Warrior?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Oh, okay, uh-huh.
Well, around that same time, ESPN was showing old episodes of WCCW, and then I see this guy called the Dingo Warrior, and I'm like, wait a minute. He looks awfully familiar. But yeah, I mean, wrestling was so great. I watched every show I could. I had it down to a T on when I should be home to watch them. It was crazy.
No, do you remember?
I rented all the VHS tapes.
Yes, that was awesome. I'd go to the video store and see if there's any, you know, like you said, like any like Coliseum home videos, and if there's any other wrestling. That was even a bonus.
I remember the first time. The first wrestling videotape, I cannot believe I remember this. The first wrestling videotape I ever rented, I believe, was Starrcade 87.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And, of course, back then, if you rented on a Friday night, you could keep the tape until Monday evening. So I spent all weekend watching that thing, and then every Saturday, as long as I did good in school during the week, my dad would take me to the video store to rent a wrestling tape every Saturday morning.
Oh, those were great. Good times.
I still own like original copies in box of some old WrestleManias that I've gotten from a video store when they were going out of business.
Oh, wow.
And I've got the original box of WrestleManias 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Do you remember the tape? I think it was called Lords of the Ring.
Is that one of those mixtapes where they had a bunch of different matches?
I was actually disappointed because when I got it, it was like, wasn't even the whole match.
Yeah.
But do you remember?
It was heavily edited.
Yeah. Do you remember like the Saturday block? They would have like superstars of rest or I think, well, it was WWF. And then it was NWA.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it was. Oh, you're right. It was Saturday. It was WWF and then NWA, then GLOW, and then POW, and then.
I forgot about GLOW. How can I forget about GLOW?
Yeah, and then after that, they had like Pro Wrestling Weekly with Joe Pettisino and Paul Heyman. Do you remember him? Paulie Dangerously?
Oh, man. I tell you what, you're talking about announcers now, man. I love Gordon Solie.
Oh, he is the greatest. Yeah. I love it. It's a Pier 6 brawl. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, they used to, you know, tape the World Championship Wrestling shows in the studio in Atlanta. They'd do the interviews and the wrestling match all right there.
Yes.
In one studio, and I can still hear Gordon Solie holding an interview with Ric Flair. 5 seconds later, he's in the ring ripping off his clothes, ready to beat somebody up.
Do you remember when Roddy Piper turned good and saved Gordon Solie from Don Morocco?
I do remember that.
That
sure
was
do.
So awesome.
That was great, man. There was, you know, there's been a lot of good rivals that were in the 80s that actually carried over into the 90s as well, or some of them did. Do you have any favorite rivalries?
Oh, gosh.
In that time?
I remember Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Wildfire Rich. That was hot.
The last Battle of Atlanta match. You can find it on YouTube.
Oh, yes. And that was like the original Hell in the Cell. Had a top and everything.
Look, my dad he was the one that took me to all the matches when I was a kid. Once I got into it, he really got into it. And Wildfire Tommy Rich, even before I was really a wrestling fan or even born, really, he was a big Tommy Wildfire Rich fan. And that match, Last Battle of Atlanta, it's like them boys that in, man, they didn't hold any punches.
No, man. Do you remember when, like, they would bring like Abdullah the Butcher in when they'd be like a box in the ring and they'd come out of it or outside of the ring? It'd be like a present or something, or he'd be in the box and he'll kick out of it. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah. Didn't Abdullah the Butcher have a rivalry with Bruiser Brody?
Oh, all over the place, especially Puerto Rico, man. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Those were, you know, I know I'm jumping all over. Of course, Abdullah the Butcher, he's like my mentor. He grandfathered his butcher name to me. And then I'm good friends of Kevin Sullivan, Taskmaster. And
yeah, I know who Kevin Sullivan is.
Yep. Yes. And matter of fact, he lives in Washington and you know, flies back and forth from Florida. And
he doesn't live in the Dungeon of Doom, does he?
Well, he's got his own dungeon. Sorry. Put it that way.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sullivan. If you ever hear this, I'm a big fan of yours as well. But Dungeon of Doom was a little bit much.
Yeah. So,
who the fuck came up with the Yeti?
Oh, I know. But I get frustrated because, you know, wrestling has changed over time. And I remember Abdullah and Kevin Sullivan says, yeah, man, with your gimmick, people are scared to touch it. You know, if you were back in the 60s, 70s and 80s, you'd be a millionaire. You'd be making a lot of money. And I was flattered. But then again, I was kind of pissed off at myself saying I was born in the wrong decade.
Man. Well, I mean, look, I mean, if you really want to see the comparison, watch at one of those epic hour-long Flair matches that he did like five times a week. How many hour-long matches do you see now?
Well, yeah, and look at Ric Flair. I mean, he was the real world's champion. He'd fly out every night, wrestle every night around the world. He would, and you know, the Horsemen, that was their gimmick. They'd go out and basically party in Las Vegas, and then they'd fly out wherever they got to go around the world. They come back, they have to go back to Georgia, you know, in the studios in the morning to promote their, you know, whatever they're going to be touring and fly out. I mean, Ric Flair had what, hour matches almost every night.
Oh my goodness. I mean, they say too, Flair could have a match with a broomstick and make it look good for an hour.
Oh yes. Oh, yes, yes.
I remember the hour-long matches he had with Barry Windham, and it was like, man.
Remember on Worldwide Wrestling was the whole hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And he had one of my all-time favorite matches is actually from the first Clash of the Champions in 88 between Flair and Sting.
Oh, yes, the very first match.
Yeah, and it went to a 45-minute draw.
Yeah.
That was the night I became a Sting fan. I mean,
yeah, that was great. Well, we were talking, you know, and I got a few promos I want to play, but I got a present for you. I found one of your favorite promos, Macho Man Randy Savage. You want to listen to it?
Yeah, man. I love me some Macho Man.
All right. I'm going to play it right now, and we'll be right back.
All right.
WrestleMania 3 at the Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. It's a day that I'm certain my guests at this time will not forget. I'm talking about the former Intercontinental Champion of the World, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Nothing means nothing.
Nothing
means nothing.
Nothing means nothing. What do you mean by that?
I'm talking about all the way to the top, yeah. Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in, but the cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah. Macho Madness, yeah, has got more to offer than President Jack Tunney thinks that I got. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Cards stacked against the Macho Man Randy Savage in WrestleMania 3. Yeah, let me say it. Yeah, let me say it out loud. And let me point to the president of the World Wrestling Federation. The Macho Man Randy Savage is not happy with your decision. Yeah, I am the cream in the World Wrestling Federation.
Wait, wait a minute,
and there is no doubt about it. Yeah, you, Mean Gene Okerlund, you know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Wait a minute, though, Randy. I've got to ask you very seriously. Do you blame Mr. Jack Tunney, the distinguished president of the World Wrestling Federation, for Ricky Steamboat being the Intercontinental Champion today?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Outside interference, yeah. In my moment of glory. Yeah, no, I'm living in a nightmare. And I am the cream. And now, not only the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship belt must fall, but the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Because Hulk Hogan, yeah, I am the cream, yeah, the cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage. On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are, yeah. And I'm talking to everyone in the World Wrestling Federation. And I'm even talking to President Jack Tunney, yeah. I'm on my way. And nothing is gonna stop me. Nothing's gonna stop me.
You know, just out of curiosity, Randy, and I certainly don't want to diminish your tremendous God-given talents, but I'm very curious. I haven't seen Elizabeth lately.
Yeah, she's on the outside of the ring. Does she interfere in matches? Yeah. Nothing, zero, yeah. Pure athlete, yeah. And I've been, maligned from the top to the bottom. And because they can't handle the Macho Man Randy Savage, the cream of the crop, nobody does it better.
Yeah, he was one of a kind.
Oh, man. Oh, God, the Macho Man was... Now that I'm older, he was so funny in his interviews.
And it's funny, if you'd see the video, and you could check it out on YouTube, remember he had that little cream, that little, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember when Macho Man used to do the Slim Jim commercials?
Oh, yeah. Snap into the Slim...
One of my favorite ones was these high school kids are in a garage, like reading
yes.
a play, like Shakespeare. And he comes popping in and goes, "Art thou bored?"
Yes, yes.
Need a little figment? Step into a Slim Jim.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, speaking of promos, I got a little rant, if you don't mind.
Hit it. Rant away.
Okay. So there's a lot of iconic promos and interviews out there. And they won't fly today because of the woke culture and the cancel culture. And, you know, the wrestlers back then had thicker skins and they knew how to draw money. So this proves that we have too many pansies in the sport of professional wrestling today. And I believe they would never last in the 80s. This era knew how to draw money. See, wrestlers never got butthurt over promos or comments and what the fans had said to them, you know. And like my tag team power, World Power's tag team power, Chief Atakula Kula and I, we love it. I mean, that means we're doing our job. And a shout out to Petrov, he is crazy as Chief and I. But the world powers love this. And the bottom line, back then, blood and true heat made money. And I have like three promos I want to share with you. And I want to get your thoughts because I guarantee they would never fly today.
All right. I'm game.
Okay. So this first one is Roddy Piper and Dr. D. David Schultz.
Dr. D,
yes.
Slap heard around the world.
Yes.
All right.
So the audio's kind of messed up. This is the only audio I could find. And uh-huh. But pay careful attention to Dr. D. David Schultz, what he said. Okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to play.
A team that we have not seen together before, but I am certain there's something in the works. When it comes to Roddy Piper and Dr. David Schultz.
You know, the first thing that got the doctor upset, got him terribly upset when I come up north, I found out that Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson, two boys, from, where I come from, down south, they should be in the cotton field, a picking cotton, a pulling a cotton sack. They shouldn't have no tendon silk belts around their waist. You know where I come from, we took boys like that and we tied them up and we whooped them like dogs. We whooped them, and when we got through whooping them, they knew right from wrong. Now, you two boys, you come on out here and bring them two belts, and whenever we tie you up there and we take them belts away from you, we're gonna whoop you like two dogs. Cause my mama told me a long time ago, baby, said, David, don't you ever trust nobody with lips over 2 inches thick and skin darker than mine. And I've always took her advice, and that's all I've got to say about it. I'm still terribly upset.
The problem is right out there, Tony Atlas is saying, how do I look, Rock? How do I look?
That was classic, what Mean Gene said when he was talking to Hogan. He couldn't believe what was just said. I mean, that would never fly today.
That would never.
And you know what?
I'm laughing because I'm sitting here thinking, like, there is no way in hell.
And that was from WWF.
Yeah, there's no way in hell this could fly in today's world. No way.
Like, a side note. So before me and Chief became good friends and stuff, and I was like best man at his wedding, we used to feud across country. We made Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you know. And they talked about our feud.
Oh, man, the magazine.
Yes. Yep. So we would take shots at each other. He'd call me an Arab, you know, camel jockey, blah, blah, blah. And I'd call him a drunken Indian. And we got racial, but that's what we did. You know, it worked. And people loved it. So check this out. So there was a wrestler in Portland, Oregon. And we were having a feud, and I showed a slave picking cotton, right? But instead of picking cotton, he was picking title belts. I would call him a belt mark, right? Okay. And then I did promos where I interviewed a sock monkey and made it sound like it was him. And I'd give him a 40, you know, and stuff like that. And he's like, wah, talk like a monkey. And people were getting mad at me and said I was racist. And it was funny because Pro Wrestling Illustrated did a story on it. And they were saying it's such a double standard in wrestling when me and Chief were feuding and we were doing racial stuff against us, no one would say nothing. But then when I did it with a black person, people got, you know, up in arms. So I just think it's funny. And the guy I did it to, Bad Blood, I mean, he was cool with it too, you know. He didn't take no offense. I mean, he knew that's, you know, making money.
Yeah.
So,
and like you said back then, I mean, if you were a heel and your job was to create heat from the fans, then that's what you did.
Right.
Like, look, folks, I was never a wrestler. I was never athletic, and I could barely walk most days. But I have been watching it pretty much all my life. And I do know that, you know, if you're a bad guy, you're supposed to create heat. You're supposed to.
Right.
You want the people to hate you so the fans will come in and, you know, pay their money and whatnot. And you definitely don't see those kinds of build ups like today. You sure don't.
Everyone's too PC. And the thing is, I know wrestlers today that they'd get butthurt and they would tell the promoter because the guy said something racial or whatever. And want him to get kicked out. And I'm thinking he's a paid fan. You know, you're going to, you know, it's already hard enough for some of these promoters to draw. Do you think every time that Junkyard Dog or Butch Reed or Tony Atlas were called monkeys or whatever the fans would say, especially down south, you know, where it was, you know, a lot of racial tension. Do you think they would, you know, tell the promoter to kick the fans out?
No.
Exactly.
No.
More heat, more money. I don't know. But I got a couple more. Here's another one.
Sure.
And at the beginning of this one, listen closely what Freddie Blassie says about Mil Máscaras. All right?
Okay,
here we go.
Yep.
Tonight, a very proud American, Sergeant Slaughter, one-on-one against the Iron Sheik. On that subject, I want to bring in Ayatollah Fred Blassie, along with Tiger Chung Lee. Yes, sir, Mr. Blassie.
I've got Tiger Chung Lee going up against that wetback Mil Máscaras, and I guarantee you, this time we're going to unmask that pencil neck geek. And that pencil neck geek that just left, he just talking about the hallowed houses of the Olympic Auditorium. Well, I know every brick, every stone, every screw in that building.
Oh.
And here's the man we're all talking about.
Soldier,
the Iron Sheik.
You're talking about Olympic Auditorium, Los Angeles. Look at all the medals. I didn't buy it, Sanger. I've been the Red Olympic 60 at Mexico City. Now, in the Los Angeles, I'm already getting excited. I'm on the doctor to bring me down. Los Angeles, California. I promise all the Iranian people, all the Arab people, all the Latin American, Los Angeles, Olympic Auditorium. I'm already excited, Sanger. I love something to Hulk Hogan. I'm going to take it from you. خدمت همه شنوندگان ایرانی عزیز که در لس آنجلس زندگی میکنن سلام عرض میکنم مخصوصا مرتضی تکیه دونالد ترامپ مرتضی تکیه سلیمان خاقانی نوکر همه شما هستم ایران The Iron Sheik, Ayatollah Blassie, همه دنیا پهلوان های ایران میشناسه. Soldier, Los Angeles, Olympic Auditorium. I bring you down and I'm gonna kick you just like I kicked the lazy camel. Woo! Woo!
Dolly, dolly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, it is already working up to a fever pitch for the big one. Coming here to Los Angeles in this Olympic year to the Olympic Auditorium on Saturday night, April the 28th. Remember, Tito Santana returned bout with Paul Orndorff for the Intercontinental title. Slaughter to meet the Iron Sheik. Máscaras to go against Chung Lee here at the Olympic Auditorium on April the 28th.
Now, two things this promo would got, you know, dinged for right now. One was when Classy Freddie Blassie or Ayatollah Blassie called Mil Máscaras a wetback, right? But PETA would have got pissed off because Iron Sheik said about kicking a camel.
That too, yeah.
But yep, I got.
And one other thing, by the way, April 28th is my birthday.
Oh, nice. Well, that's even. Oh, nice. Yes. We got to replay it on your birthday.
But, yeah, that was. Yeah, sure. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
I got one more short one, and this one's a doozy.
All right, hit it.
Okay. This is with Jimmy Hart and Steve Kern with Lance Russell, and this is from Classic Memphis Wrestling from 1981. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just say
you
this.
You got something up your sleeve.
We have something in common, Steve Kern and Jimmy Hart, baby. And it is that I hate Orientals. And I know Steve Kern hates Orientals because I know that he loves and respects his father very, very much, just like I love and respect my father very, very much. And I know also that Steve Kern's father was a prisoner of war in Vietnam.
That's
it
true.
Was in all the papers. You know it, and I know it, too.
No point in going
so like I said
that.
Before, there is no love lost between Jimmy Hart and the Orientals, and I know how Steve Kern feels about them.
Do you think that would pass today?
Hell no. No, no, you can't say that. Hell, in ramen noodles, it's not even called Oriental flavor anymore. It's called soy sauce.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding.
You know what's so funny? Because I know a lot of older people, and they're not even racist, right? But when they refer to Asians, they go Oriental. I just think it's funny.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the stuff they used to say back then, I mean, I remember Roddy Piper told Mr. T that he wore more chains than his ancestors.
Oh, yes. And, yes, I almost played that promo. Yeah.
And I remember back then, even back then, I remember my dad thinking, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. And look, everyone loves Piper. Everyone loves Piper to this day.
Oh, Piper is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
Piper's Pit was a big thing for me as a kid.
Oh, yeah. There's two that stuck out in my mind. Well, there's a couple more, but what two do you think?
Come up from Piper's Pit?
Yeah. And Hogan's not one of them. Hogan and Andre's not one of them.
Probably Snuka and the Coconut.
Yes, yes.
And the shaving of the midget.
Oh, I forgot about that one. That was Little Mr. T. I forgot about that one.
Or if that one's not it, is it the one where he beats up that Frank Columbo guy?
Frank Williams. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. To that day. Oh man. Rest in peace. He passed away years ago, but yeah, Frank Williams. Yeah.
That's right. He was from Columbus. Yeah. My bad. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But, so what was the other one?
Oh, that was it. That was the three. Oh,
okay.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Those Piper, but even the Andre Hulk Hogan one was significant because it set up WrestleMania 3.
Oh, which, yeah. And remember, Hogan's chest was bleeding. His fingernail caught his chest. That always stuck out in my mind.
He ripped his cross off of him. And that was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, there's difference. I remember Al Snow was talking. There's difference between wrestlers and workers. You know, a good wrestler is not always going to be the best professional wrestler. A worker is going to be, a good worker would make more money than a good professional wrestler, because the worker will know how to work the crowd, and you know, gets it, knows what he's doing.
Yeah. That's very, very true in my book.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to keep it excited, but let's keep this excited. And I thought I'd want to play a game. I got about 8 songs, clips of ring music from the 80s.
Oh boy.
From the 80s.
Let me get my drink ready.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, are you ready for the first two? It's going to probably be a giveaway, but okay. And
all right.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Warning.
Oops. Wrong. I got to switch over. Okay, now.
I had to say Amber Alert. What?
It was like warning. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I got it. Hulk Hogan?
That's it. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's right. He came out to that before he did his whole Real American song. Yeah.
Which one you like better?
I don't know, because to this day, if I kind of want to get hyped, I listen to Real American.
Yeah.
But Eye of the Tiger is definitely, definitely, without a doubt, a classic.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because when I'm going to the gym, they got a new app and you could request music to play over the loudspeaker. And it's funny. Every time I go in, I start with Eye of the Tiger. And then what I did, I made a playlist. Matter of fact, I did a lyrical spit bonus and I forgot what I was going to say about it, but I have this as the first song.
Eye of the Tiger, man, that's definitely a classic. I mean, that song's from Rocky III, which is, you know, Hulk Hogan's in Rocky III. Yes. It's Thunderlip. Yeah.
I mean, it's not my first song on my playlist, but every time I walk in, I'll play Eye of the Tiger to let people know on that app that I'm walking in, so they look for me when
awesome.
I play. All right, here's another one. Ready?
Sure.
Okay.
All right,
here we go.
I don't know this one.
Sure you do.
I'm kidding. Oh yeah. I definitely, that's Ric Flair all day.
Yeah, you gotta play. Okay, you got that one.
The theme from 2001 Space Odyssey.
What do you think your favorite Ric Flair match or rivalry?
Ooh, man. My favorite Ric Flair match? Oh, God. I've got two.
Okay.
And I have to mention both of them. One of them is the one I mentioned earlier, Flair versus Sting at First Clash of Champions.
Uh-huh.
The other one is either one of the three matches he had with Steamboat in 89.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
I mean, Steamboat won the belt in the first match, held on to it in the second match, and then lost it to Flair in the third match.
Oh.
So, but they put on a wrestling clinic.
Yes.
In my opinion. I mean, it's just textbook on how you work with your opponent and how you work the ring. I mean, it's just incredible.
Exactly. Well, you know, when I brought up what Al Snow said about worker and pro wrestlers, now I know why I brought that up. We were talking about the Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant match, and everyone was saying, you know, the Ricky Steamboat and Macho Man match was probably the best match on WrestleMania, or the best match ever. And his point was, no, it was Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, because they're the ones that drew the money.
Oh God. Was it 90,000 people
in
Detroit?
Yes. I mean, that was iconic. Iconic.
And they sold that show because of what happened on Piper's Pit.
Yeah. So, yep. All right.
I do agree as far as match, like wrestling match. I mean, but by far the Ricky Steamboat Macho Man match.
Technical.
WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was easily by far the best match on the card, but if that had been for Hogan and Andre, many people might not consider it.
Yep. All right. You ready for the next one?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. I know you know it.
I know the song.
He went to WWE after this. Grab them cakes.
Say what now?
Here's a hint. Grab them cakes.
I can picture it.
His move was the thump.
Oh, Junkyard Dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember he used to come to the ring all the time, and I loved it. When I watch, like, old matches on the WWE Network or on Peacock, my biggest pet peeve, when the wrestlers came in, like, with their songs like this, they put generic songs because I guess they don't want to play royalties.
Yeah, they probably don't have the rights to it.
Yeah. All right, let's move along. Okay, the next one. Ready?
Okay, yep. I know the song, and I think I know the wrestler.
I'm sure you do.
Fabulous Freebird.
Yeah.
One of the most underrated factions ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Their feud with the Von Erichs. Oh, man. That was huge back in the day.
That was classic. It was classic.
Now, and I know a lot about that feud because my grandmother, my mom's stepmom, lived out in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I believe she still does, but when she would visit, she would tell me these stories about the Von Erichs.
Really? Like what?
They were just like, people loved them. They were constantly like front page of the sports section. And then once I got into wrestling, she would send me newspaper clippings. But by the late 80s, of course, the Von Erich brand went near what it used to be.
Yeah.
But they were huge. I mean, Michael Hayes was really, really hated in Dallas.
I mean, they sold out Texas Stadium, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. I mean, the Cotton Bowl. I mean, they ran Cotton Bowl shows. And I know that the Dallas outfit didn't, you know, as far as its regional space, it didn't reach very far. I know they did a couple of things overseas,
Actually, their syndication, believe it or not, they had one of the biggest overseas syndication, and they were real big in Israel.
Yeah, as I think I remember hearing about that in the interview with Kevin.
Yeah. Okay, well, we better move along. All right, here's the next one. Ready?
All right. Yep. Oh, God.
You want a hint?
Yeah.
He became a Freebird later on.
Oh, Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know he came out to that song, Bill. I don't remember that one.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. He used to come out, Sharp Dressed Man. Did you hear this?
Was that when he was feuding with, you know, WCCW with, what's his name, Chris Adams and such? Well,
yeah, but he had it in the Georgia Championship and World Championship Wrestling, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that being part of his thing, but okay, yeah, no, Jimmy Jam.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know why that, did you hear the story why he became a Freebird?
No, I didn't. I remember he teamed up with Michael Hayes a lot in WCW. Though.
Yeah, Jimmy Jam Garvin. Well, I guess technically, I mean, they considered him a Freebird, an honorary Freebird, because he used to party with them and stuff. And I guess they wanted to, you know, revamp the Freebirds or whatever they, you know, and all that, or bring back the Freebirds. So Michael Hayes, you know, had Jimmy Jam Garvin because he was actually a Freebird behind the scenes.
Do you remember, God, I remember the song they had, was it Bad Street USA?
Yeah, Bad Street USA. Yeah, oh, yes.
Yeah, hell yeah. And that was really Michael Hayes singing too, so.
Yep. Well, you know, it's funny because when I was at the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum in Wichita Falls, Texas, and matter of fact, they're moving the museum up to right outside of Dallas. But Terry Gordy has a daughter that wrestles, Miranda Gordy. And I was involved in their tag match. I was managing the opposing team. But yeah, she's making a name for herself. And you know, Miranda Gordy. All right, here's the next one. Now this goes way back. I'm sure you may know it, but this is like early, you know. I believe this was Georgia Championship Wrestling, or right when they turned the World Championship. It was early Georgia. Okay, here we go.
I know the song again. Can I get a hint?
Black guy. Bad Leroy Brown.
Yep.
Do you remember him? Remember him?
Not the wrestler. I sure don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I was actually just about to say Rocky Johnson for some reason. But.
All right. These next two, I guarantee you're going to get.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Midnight Express?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. Bam.
Do you remember when Jim Cornette's Midnight Express feuded with the Pauly Dangerously Midnight Express?
I remember that, and I remember Midnight Express versus the Rock and Roll Express, too.
Yes. When I was at the Hall of Fame, I got to hang out with Randy Rose. Awesome guy.
Beautiful.
Him and his wife. Awesome people. Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. When
the scaffold match.
Recording tonight,
what's that now? Remember the scaffold matches with Road Warriors and Midnight Express.
Oh, yes. Night of the Skywalkers, Starcade 86. Yeah.
You know, Jim Cornette got hurt when he fell off.
Was it somebody under him supposed to catch him and he blew out
his
knees?
Big Bubba Rogers.
Yeah.
All right, here's the last one. And if you don't get this one, Pahu Rojo is going to have to eat a bunch of raw meat.
Ooh. All right, so the heat is on. The heat is on.
I have that much faith you're going to get it. Ready?
All right.
Here we go.
All right. I know the song. Holy shit.
Remember who came out to it?
Oh, God. It's on the tip of my... I cannot believe I don't remember it. Hint. Just give me a hint.
Legion of Doom.
The Road Warriors came out to this?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, go watch. Oh, yeah.
They did. You are correct, sir. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Well, Pahu Rojo is going to have to eat some raw meat.
Well, he's going to have half. I'll eat the other half.
No, I said he had to eat it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, man, that brings back some memories.
It does. You know, when we get done recording tonight, I'm going to have to look up some wrestling and shit and watch it.
Well, you know, next time we do it, I didn't even think about it. Give like Tommy Wildfire Rich a call to come join us.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, he's like one of my heroes.
Yeah. He did a podcast 2 years ago with me. And then he had texted me, wished me a happy birthday. And then I was thinking, you know, I didn't want to ask him right away after he said happy birthday, you know, if you want to be on my podcast, but yeah, we could do another show or even if I did on Lyrical Spit, have you come on too or whatever, or we could do a swap cast again, but yeah, have him come on. Shoot. Have him and absolutely. Abdullah. They had some bloody feuds.
Who's that? Oh yeah, absolutely. It sure did.
Yeah.
But hey, before I know we're getting kind of short on time, but real quick, you know, all this great stuff about 80s wrestling that we've been talking about for almost an hour now. And I, you know, there's one sad thing about the 1980s wrestling. And that was really by the late 80s into the 90s, you know, the territories were being killed off.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
All the territories, WCCW, AWA. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Stampede and up in Canada.
Yep.
The Memphis outfit down there run by Jarrett and Lawler.
Yes. Those were great.
Everything went, I mean, Bill Watts and Mid-South and everything just went to the wayside.
Yeah.
That's the only bad thing about it during that golden age of wrestling was all of a sudden, you know, it really came down to two, which obviously was WWE and WCW in the mid-90s. So I think it's sad, though, to be honest, because these guys out there wrestling today, to me, just seems like they wouldn't get the education that the older guys got.
100%. When I start going to the wrestling, and my dad would take me, and I remember that night, Rocky Johnson, I went up and I was like, hey, I want your autograph. And these security guards were pushing me away and he stopped and he goes, no. And he signed his picture for me, right? And as soon as I did that, Buddy Rose come running out of the back and hit him on the top of the head with a chain, right? And I remember the next month or whenever they came back, I looked at Buddy Rose and he looked down at me. I said, you're going to work for me one day. And then years later in 92, I started my first promotion. And guess who worked for me? And we became good friends. Playboy Buddy Rose.
Buddy Rose.
Yep. And like when I went to the Midwest and I came back, I remember I was right into a show in Oregon with one of his students. I said, oh my gosh, you're a Buddy Rose student. Yeah, and he called Buddy and we talked for like 45 minutes as we were driving. And I was supposed to hook up with him for dinner. And he invited me and my son. And then like a couple weeks after that, he passed away. Yep. But
well, unfortunately, you know, a lot of our guys from that time have passed away. And I actually wanted to dedicate this episode, this show, for all those that aren't with us anymore.
Oh, amen. Amen. Yes. And great. That's awesome. Yep. I agree. And what I was going to say though, like I learned so much from Playboy Buddy Rose. I mean, he taught me a lot and I got Moondog Moretti. And you know, a few others and traveling and I got to pick their brains, Kevin Sullivan's brain, Abdullah's brain. And, you know, granted, they don't have territories anymore. And that was like the learning tree. That was the school, you know, was in session when you went on the road trips. And that's, like you said, territories. That's what's, you know, being lost. And there's really no veterans to help these little kids or young, or, you know, the new generation. And a lot of the respect, though, I noticed, too. I mean, there's a lot of great kids out there that have respect. But, again, a lot of these ones just want to do high spots and get their crap in instead of telling a story and give a good match, you know. And the art's being lost. And I hope, you know, that, it, you know, the art don't be, you know, I'm getting tongue tied, but I hope the art don't be, you know, won't be gone forever. You know, hopefully.
Look, there's at least one time a year, and it's normally right around WrestleMania season, where I will tune in and watch and see what the product's like and who's in now and who's wrestling and so forth. But in the past couple of years, I'd sit down and watch during WrestleMania season, and I just can't get into it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just. And that hurts my feelings, to be honest with you, because wrestling is something I grew up with and I love dearly.
And
to see it like that, I wish it would get back. So I wish something would happen to trigger to get that love of wrestling back.
Yeah, and well, with all these woke people out there getting butthurt, I don't see it coming back. I said, if I start a promotion up, it's going to be old school and unpolitically correct. And no snowflakes. No snowflakes. I'm serious. Allowed
in. I bet. I believe you.
But,
hey, in the words of Johnny Lawrence, I'm awake.
Well, shoot, I guess we better give out all of our plugs and shout outs before we shut this down. Shoot, it only sounded like we talked for, it seemed to me we only talked for like 5 or 10 minutes, and we definitely got to do another show in the near future.
I could go about wrestling for days, man.
Well, shoot,
I mean,
I'll bring you on Lyrical Spit, and we'll do another whatever.
Sure. But do you have anything you want to plug real quick?
Okay. Well, I'm going to give a shout out to you guys because this is being aired Swapcast on Lyrical Spit. So shout out to Tales from the Abyss. Graciously, I'm the new producer with host Jay Linderman and Pahu Rojo, and it's on all major podcast platforms. My Lyrical Spit podcast, it drops about once a week with some bonuses. I got a couple bonuses coming out. Murky Chronicles with myself and Gorgeous Kenny Roberts drops every Friday on all major podcast platforms. And for links, for both shows, go to lyricalspit.com. Sweet and Low Upholstery, they're stitching is bitching. You get my merch at butcherspit.com. You can check my wacky stuff and make it go viral at Lyrical Spit Dobashi. I think that's all I have to pimp out. How about you, brother?
Not nearly that much. now, just a shout out real quick to my good friend here and co-host the past couple of weeks, Mr. Butcher Dobashi. It's been a privilege having you. It's been fun. We've had some great conversations. I look forward to doing wrestling again and whatever else. And I'm sure we will. I'm also, no offense, I am looking forward to having my co-host back, Mr. Pedro Rojo, next week.
Yep, take him off the milk carton.
Hey, man, I better have a platter of meat waiting for him. But yeah, this has been great. It's been a lot of fun. And to end it, I'd like to, like I said earlier, you know, this is dedicated to all those wonderful wrestlers who are no longer with us that, you know, we watched over the years and grew up, and like myself, especially, you know, grew up with and so forth. So this is for them and their families. And that's all I got, man. And it's been a fun night, for sure.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. And if she has an apple, she has a banana. And guess what, Mr. Jay Linderman?
What up?
I'm going to end this show with an extra special treat. We're going
to... Ooh, I'm all down for some treats, man.
All right. Going to leave you with this song from the wrestling album. This was the first album released by the World Wrestling Federation in 1985. Which is now called WWE. This is the Land of the Thousand Dances. Enjoy.
Oh. Woo! These nuts.
Come in. McMahon, Jesse Ventura reads like the who's who, but that was, I'm glad to get away from it, really.
Indeed, that was a battle royal of music if there ever was one.
I'll tell you, that's funky, chaotic rock if I ever heard it. Wasn't King Kong Bundy great?
He was off key.
Was he ever. I'll tell you, though, I happened to be next to Junkyard Dog, and he was superb, really.
Junkyard Dog, let me tell you something. The dude's got no business being in rock and roll. He sounds like a mutt with a bad bone in his mouth.
Give me a break. He's on his way downstairs to do a single right now.
As a matter of fact, I can't believe this. He's down in Studio C getting ready to do... What is this? Grab them cakes?
This is They Fall Love, The Butcher Dobashi. Please share, follow, and or subscribe on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on most of your major podcast platforms. That way you'll get notifications and you will not miss a single daily spit. I am also ordained, and I can marry you and give you all your blessing needs. Send your booking request to DobashiBookings@gmail.com. For all the links, go to lyricalspit.com. Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com. Be sure to check out Murky Chronicles, drops every Friday, hosted by yours truly, They Fella, The Butcher Dobashi, and Kenny Roberts. With guests, stories, news on unexplained and bizarre happenings, you can listen on your favorite podcast platforms or just go to lyricalspit.com for the latest shows and links.